Channel One Ride and the beginning of a remarkable tape. Channel One Ride and beginning of the visit with Gorman Etheridge this late Saturday, the 8th of May, 1971. Channel One Ride and the beginning of a remarkable tape. And this is the beginning of the first visit of Gorman with Suzanne and Carol and the English girl around the table. They had come in to report, and Gorman came in and took it over. Naturally, they yielded to him. This Channel One Ride, beginning of the visit with Gorman this Saturday, late, the 8th of May, 1971. Channel One Right, and beginning of a remarkable tape. Beginning of the visit with Gorman this Saturday, late, the 8th of May, 1971.
Collecting vegetables.
Who's going to do the cooking?
Me.
You?
Partly. We're going to split them up. Through white.
For the cooking. What you got out there? Turnips, mustard?
We got everything.
I see.
You can.
You hadn't gotten my letter.
No, Faye told me. She said.
Oh, I'm right. Telling you. Oh, man.
You done. What have you done told me?
Huh?
Well, you come to read it, huh?
I went over to Trenton. Everybody else.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, well, go ahead. I'll tell you about that later. What are you talking about?
He's just talking about the vegetables that I'm going to cook.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are going to fry onions?
Oh, but tell
well,
me about
that's the ones we just got. We didn't get them out of our garden. We got them over at Mr. Party's.
Mr. Party. This guy's showing us garden over there. You don't say that in front of Jim, because he's done a good job. He hurt his feelings. He's not proud of that garden. And I'm going to tell you, I believe if Jim hadn't took a hold of it, I don't believe it would have been nothing. You know, these eggheads, these old professors that don't know nothing but books, they would get to them for preachers.
Let me tell you now.
You see, I know that'd get
leave,
it right.
Let's leave that out of here.
All right.
We owe it Cecil Pardee's, and he's truck farming.
Oh, he's truck farming.
And he'd really got the stuff.
I was going to tell it about my preacher buddy and my brother. See, my brother was a deacon. And they're going to have them a garden together.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And I have to put these all in about the same category. See, they get it all started. Boy, when they get this spring seed catalog and these pretty pictures, and the spring sets in, the sap rises, they got more energy than you ever saw. So the sun gets hot, and they got to get out there and cultivate, and they start sweating. That's when they lose the interest. The doc takes all this serious.
Sure.
He takes all this
sure.
serious.
I thought sure. Let me tell you, let's leave the academic side out.
he takes it all serious.
That's what we're doing out here, trying to get outside of the academic side. Now, if you want to come out here and pull us back, you see, that's the hardship on us.
That's the hardship.
Let me tell you. I thought your brother was a roughneck.
Which brother?
Over at the Chieflin?
Chieflin? Oh.
Chieflin.
I'm the roughneck.
You talk
about now, Doc. You went over there, and you're gonna learn a lot of things. It's like I trying to get a date with this girl one time, and she kept saying, "Now you're not gonna take her off and get her in the wrong crowd." Director, she says, "Oh, mother, hush. He is the wrong crowd." What are you talking about? I'm the black sheep. I'm the one that, if you hear anything bad about that name over there, you can lay it to me.
Can't he farm and take care of himself?
Who, BT? Yeah. My brother?
Yeah.
He does a good job of farming.
Yes.
Well, he does a good job of it.
Well, how'd he get in with the preacher?
Well, he's a deacon.
Oh,
yeah. He's going to garden. See, now, he's got half a section of land in there. So he's got some that's worth $1,000 an acre. And they grow the finest cattle you ever looked at, and the finest corn when they come, they buy all their vegetables.
Yeah.
I asked this lady at the country store on there was out in West Florida. She had dry lima beans, she had sweet potatoes, she had all this stuff, green vegetables. I said, "Who do you sell this to?" I sell it to these farmers around you. There's nobody else around you.
There you are.
So Well, that's what I say. See, people farming don't grow gardens.
Well, now, who is Cecil selling to?
He says people just drive up his yard and ask for the stuff. He said he had cars in Illinois and Ohio and Idaho.
And lots of people from Jacksonville, too.
He said they come down there and they load up the back end of the car with vegetables and they ship their luggage home and they drive back with the
vegetables.
And I guess he just sends them and tells them which row has what in it and lets them go out and pick it. Because I don't think he picks it all. I think he may pick some, but I think a lot of times he just sends them out.
Just let them pick their own.
Some lady said, well, how do you tell the difference between black-eyed peas and crowder peas? And he said, if you don't know the difference, it won't matter.
Same anyway.
So
he
just sent them out, let them pick.
I don't know if he's got any little acre peas over there.
We went through a row by row and he didn't mention them, no. I prepared the bed, he didn't mention them.
Black-eyed peas.
Yeah.
Some
other kind of peas.
Speckled butter beans. White peas.
What's coming over there? Get me a maple over there. You got a ham hock around here anywhere, Doc? A smoked ham hock? I don't mean
it. He loaded up us up with the snap beans. He let us pick them. And then we walked about halfway down three rows and got a big old bucket about halfway full. Before we got hot.
Where you got all these vegetables?
You picked your own?
Yeah.
Where's your trunk key?
Not his trunk. And he told us, he said, there's a meat market down the road, and you just go get about three ham hocks for each pot of beans and cook them up.
You going to make the cornbread?
Yeah, cornbread.
How do you know how to make cornbread? You do?
Yeah, I learned that early.
How'd you do? Oh, was that the new bride told they had the first cake, you know, she made the first cake. And he says, honey, it's delicious. You're using the same mix mother used. You make biscuits, you're good at it, huh? You pop that can and roll them out.
Did you get to talk to him?
Yeah, we sat down there in the yard, and he brought out three lawn chairs for us, and we just sat down there, and he talked for about an hour, I guess, he and his wife.
Well, now, he has done everything, and he's actually done it.
Who is this, though?
Cecil Pardee. He lives out there at the Shiloh Crossroads.
I know some Pardees, but I can't
find
it.
South of Mexico.
Has he ever made moonshine?
Since he's built, yeah.
What do you mean, ever made?
I might have had a hand in
it. No, he didn't talk much about that.
Oh, he didn't?
No, he talked about the garden and he told us. He was talking about the lady lived on the corner. And he talked about young people not living in town. He said they didn't have anything to do, but they had lots of energy, and so they had to get rid of it somewhere. The picture shows weren't enough. He says, now what they ought to do is come out here and work for a while.
Work off that energy.
And he talked about his garden. He didn't talk too much about what he'd done.
No, I didn't.
Just the garden mostly.
He lived a rough life.
Gathered that. Tell a rough joke.
Oh yeah, he don't do anything the easy way. They had watermelons in the back pasture there, and he did most of the work for Bill Wynn. Bill Wynn had them, and when it come time to put the fertilizer out, they brought the big trailer out there, then they had a little 6-ton trailer or some such thing to pull behind the tractor. And he loaded it right up to the rim. Yes, sir. And I told him, I said, Cecil, it ain't far from that field back there, up to here to where the fertilizer is. You don't have to bust an axle and beat down the ground so it'll never be the same again. But he did. He got that old rugged John Deere tractor. I don't know what you call it. But it's high. You need a stepladder to get up on it.
That big green one here?
Yeah.
Little two-cylinder job.
Yeah.
Goes putt, they are strong.
Oh, they are. And you got to be strong to put your plow on it.
He suggested y'all come out and work for him and work off that surplus energy. I think you had a good idea.
Who's gonna get it, you know?
Gorman, I run into the most extraordinary people over there. Yes, I don't know all their names by any means. But now, Buck Johnson, I didn't get too much talk out of him. He was.
He's pretty busy.
Yes. But while he is working on an old truck to get it through the inspection center, I went there next door.
It was a little restaurant?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the man that runs that, he's.
Who run that man? He changed his hand.
He's a young fella.
I think that's one of those Osteen boys.
And, let's see. We talked, I forget. And then the Ford tractor man drove up in front of Buck Johnson's. He had a great, big, huge, brand new Ford 3000 on it. Delivering it. And, I talked to him about some of the little equipment that they turn in, you know. And he talked like they reworked it and could, you know, find something for you.
Yeah, they will. But what do you need with a tractor you got?
They stay broke down.
Yours stay broke down?
Yeah.
Ain't you got a pretty new rig out there? That may bog, I mean, they stay bogged down, don't you?
they broke
straight
down. Well, if I had a good mechanic
a hold
of it for half a day, I think they'd
do
a lot better. And,
You know, Bully out here, he put it where it run, stay running. If you could have him seduce over Harrison to come out here.
That's, yes, but he's not interested in
He ain't it. No, I mean, get him out here. You'd have to pay him, get him out here to work on your tractor. You'd have to seduce him. That's
why,
about.
You couldn't, yes. You'd have to have vegetables or something like that.
He might come for vegetables. I don't know. I might get Bully. What seems to be the trouble with it? Just, is it a major thing or a minor?
Well, the little one needs overhauling. And the big one is just wore out in several spots.
Several spots. That little tractor we went down there? Little Ford with a 3-point hitch, needs overhauling.
Yeah. Ain't got no compression, won't pull. Must put out fertilizer.
How many hours you got on? Did you buy it new?
No, it was a generation old. It had raised a family or two when I got it.
You can make this crop with it, but you've got tell us its oil capacity. How many quarts of oil does it hold?
I have no idea.
How often do you change it?
I don't change it very often. Well, I change it enough, but I don't know how often.
What's enough?
Well, it's not black. It
don't matter on the farm tractor. Change your oil in it and put you a couple of cans of SDP in it. That'll improve your compression until you can get this crop made.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, the man I ran into there was, he was sitting at the...
You didn't run into old Cecil Rowell, did you?
No.
I wished you had.
Where's he?
He couldn't have got over that.
Where's he?
He's retired. He runs up and down the streets trying to... He's my sidewalk superintendent, Cecil's. I don't know what old Cecil's worth. $500,000, I suppose.
You wouldn't know it?
Nah, he felt it. His wife, Bess, is a postmistress there, has been for years. Cecil's automobile dealer and farmer and everything else. He's a mess. He can tell you all the local yokels gossip from the day they was born. I mean, the second and third generation, anything else. He aggravate me to death. I'll be a building something over there, and Cecil standing around. He and my daddy was good close friends. And always talking about old times, what they was into. I said, "No, you mean what you was into, Cecil? You and my uncle." Yeah, the uncle was hell, wasn't he? I says, "Yeah, he was." He big old Irishman, you know, a Irish German. Loved to fight. He'd want to get drunk, you know, get up town and get drunk. And he'd always have to drive. I had a little free trail road going through the sawmill town. He'd get around. "What's the matter, El? Them trees ain't never been in that road before," he said. "He's so drunk, he see it, the trees."
When I was there just on Saturday?
Most of the time I just get drunk on Saturday, on payday, see, yeah. Paid off every Saturday.
Yeah.
And he'd get pretty well, he and Cecil Rowell, W.J. Tate, Hope Colson, I don't hope about dead. They'd all get drunk. If they didn't fight, they'd usually wind up out in Swanee Hammock somewhere. I want you to go on down and meet Big Chris Anderson and sit down there. That's Cecil Rowell. I mean, go on. You should have went on Fanning Spring. You remember reading about the little girl drowned last year, the young teacher, Kathy, down at Miami, and they had the teachers meeting down there?
Yes, at one of the hotels.
At one of the hotels, yeah. Well, she lived there at Fanning. She's teaching at Grub City. Well, I guess only time I was old Big Chris shook up was when that happened. He loved the little girl just about like it's one of his daughters. Kathy was a sweet thing, just as bubbling over with energy. As smart as a whip. But now, if you want to hear some wild tales, he can tell you. He was deputy sheriff in Dixie County.
That's the man, yes.
You know, Kirby,
yes,
Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah, and his brother Frank was sheriff for years. That's back when you bought the town. And you hijacked your labor. You can still buy Dix County. You can buy an election over there.
Yeah.
In fact, we put our senator, Ed Usher, in. It took $10,000 to get him in. We bought that.
Oh, it did.
They don't have old machines. Yeah, it cost the other three counties $10,000 to put him in.
Oh, I see. It's more than one county. That's
true. Yeah. Well, now then, they combined. We've got a lot of way in it now. No, it's
no.
Just in the senators.
Yeah.
See, we lost our senator, Lodgewood County, and got him. I lost my old buddy, Red Crow. He got beat. But now Chris will tell you some hair raisers. And there's another old fella down there. I don't know, I just met Stoney about 2 years ago. He's head of Castleton Farms. He's an old, I don't know how old Stoney is. He won't tell me. Martin Stone,
where'd they get him?
He come from Kentucky. He was one of the champion race drivers, you know, these little sulky carts back when he was coming up. But he had a wreck. Stoney don't talk much about that, but he's a horse trainer there at Castleton.
Well, now two of that blacksmith was out here and got Cookie's two horses.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, two young fellas. They worked 3 days a week over at Castleton.
Worked 3 days a week over
there. Yeah, live in Gainesville. I said, "Why do you live in Gainesville?" They said they couldn't find a place to live in
a trailer. It's hard to find unless you rent one of those mobile homes.
I said, "Well, what's wrong with our trailer?" The little girl was with us, with them, and she said she just didn't care for them.
Well, I don't think we just like walking in one direction all the time. Well, I got caught up. I was living in Atlanta, and I was coming down to Jacksonville, and we'd had a party there at Waycross. Not Waycross, but Waycross. If I'd had a Florida tag on my car, I wouldn't have got out of Georgia, but I got just over in Hilliard. See, I had $100 and some change in my pocket, and a half a pint of whiskey, so it cost me my $100. I had to go to the Hilliard jail. And it was one of them long, narrow ones.
Was it nice in it?
Well, they waited till 4 hours was up, and they took my $100. You got to stay 4 hours, see. They can't legally charge you with drunk unless they keep you 4 hours.
Oh.
They didn't have no blow in the bag test. They didn't wouldn't have had no hounds. This is a jip town.
Yeah.
You have $2 or something like that.
Was he good natured about it?
Yeah, oh yeah, friendly to me. Said I would buy you breakfast if it wasn't so broke. I says, I'll tell you where to go. Says I ain't a go. Heard it before, yeah.
Now where was that idiot?
That is an idiot.
No hard feelings.
Y'all not to bought that pint of whiskey. I said, well, I ain't drinking none of it yet. He says, you ain't going to. I'm going to keep it, too.
Oh, you lost some pounds?
Lost my $100 and your pint of whiskey.
Oh, you could have sacrificed my
$100,
you know?
At least give me a drink of it. Kind of helped me bear my misery. Oh, me.
Now, this... You hadn't had much to say to this Stoner then.
Stoney? Oh, Stoney. We get in the wrangle every time we get together, but as I say, Stoney don't talk much about his background, except his horse training. He loves horses. Said he must be a mighty good trainer. He's strictly a horse man of up in the high echelon.
They have harness horses over there.
Harness horses, that's right.
Oh, that'd be nice for a change, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
and
if
not
you could afford them.
Sitting on one all the time.
Not be sitting on one. But I don't want to ride that close to that horse's hoof. Because he's sitting right there and them feet just fly.
Well, not your hoof so much.
Well, that's the only thing going to knock your head off. I said when I got through.
Don't they have to hold on to the tail or something or tie it or something?
Yeah, they have to dock it and tie it.
Yeah, dock it.
Them horse races I think it's every Friday night over out from Jacksonville harness race. You like horse racing.
Now this is Charlie Round.
Cecil Round.
Cecil Round.
Mm-hmm. His brother Jack.
And
yeah, old Cecil will take up a lot of time because that's all he's got. And he does love to talk. And Chris Anderson, if you ever get over there and see, you and him go see old Chris. He's a great big fella.
Yeah. Well, now your uncle?
He's dead.
He's dead.
Yeah.
But they talk about it.
Well, yeah, Lord, yeah. Talk about me too if you get them started. Not too compliment.
Well, when I brought your name up, I just sort of.
He kind of eyed you.
Yeah.
He inspected your car though, didn't he? Did he say something about that thing leaking over there?
I waited till afterwards.
Till afterwards.
Yeah. I'll tell you who I run into. There's a man in the drugstore there, the pharmacy.
Old man
Roger. He's sitting at one of those little ice cream tables with his hat on. And he just. And turning it around, licking it on all sides, ice cream cone.
Old man Rogers is there?
No.
I speak to say he.
And I'll tell you, I thought to myself, that's some of these fellas around here haven't got much, and he's just trying to make the best of that ice cream cone.
But I
went up, I was going to get a candy bar. But I saw that, and so I just got an ice cream cone too. She said 11 cents, 21 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she had 11 cents, so I just took that. And then I started walking around the drugstore. And then I came to, I said, well, why in the world am I walking around the drugstore pricing things? I don't want to buy anything. Why don't I go over there where they're talking? So I ambled back on over there, and he had started talking then to the two women. They were young women who were at the fountain. And they were kind of sad looking. They didn't encourage him, tried not to, I thought. I didn't know what in the world he was talking about, but I heard the word protein.
Protein.
I said, you don't mean protein. And he turned. Just dropped those women and looked at me. Just looked like he'd been expecting me and surprised to see me. And we talked about protein in those ice cream cones for half an hour. Why, he makes them. He does it. He manufactures them.
Manufactures them cones.
And he also sells them. I asked him what was his veet, the state of Florida, he said.
I wonder who
and
he did run into.
His name was Galbraith.
Who?
Galbraith. Uncle Jim Galbraith.
Old man Jim Galbraith.
And
he drank some bees.
And he sort of pushed his hat back and said, you see, I'm just 89.
89.
I said, you do that all yourself, and he went into that. But then he got into East Tennessee. He came to East Tennessee up around Clinton.
Yeah.
I used to live up there too. And his daddy used to had a 15 team farm right there where one of those dams is now. And he says he still couldn't see governing up that land. He says they never used fertilizer. It just flooded. And he'd grow most everything and get out. And Mr. Rogers come back over there then, and he spoke to him, so then I knew who Mr. Rogers was. And there was a pair of shears there, tongs, clippers, heavy things. And I said, what in the world do you use these for? And he used them for, that's all they need, just some little something. And so we went up there and looked at his hardware. He got hardware in one corner. And I learned one thing, that you don't have to buy these little old axes that are on put on a handle. It's almost like a toothpick now. You can get a good one. But he says, I'd take a 6-pound axe. Because then when you let it down, it'll stay. And that's been my experience with an axe. This little old light axe, you can't get it in there. It'll bounce out. And he'd go and get me one, and he said if I got back over there Friday week, he'd have it for me. I don't know how I'm going to get back, but...
Well, Chrysler won't run? What'd you care when he'd get inspected? That old red Chrysler?
Yeah.
Bud and paste, that thing?
Why, he didn't even put that
in place. Well,
I had a whole set of brand new tires on it.
Oh, did you?
Retreads.
Yeah, but what about your suspension? Is it all right?
Yeah.
Let's break.
Buster had worked on that last 4 or 5
Who
months
did?
Ago. Buster
Cookie?
No.
What's happened to Cookie?
He quit work as far as I can see.
Did he go out to university?
Yeah.
Driving him a truck?
Tractor yesterday.
Mm.
Tractor, huh?
Plowing up our front yard out there.
I don't know if that. Who's plowing up Tiger Hole?
Tired Hall in front of the library, and he was out there yesterday on the tractor, moving it out.
Old man Rogers, now, what's he good for? He got a section of land?
Old man, which Rogers?
Pharmacy.
Oh, drugstore Rogers? He got some land, I don't know how much he's got. He come there some years ago. Rogers had some controversy. He got tangled up with, he was selling too much coal syrup around. The cherry coal, with opium in it. And you have to take me a cherry coal cold syrup, the best in the world. You have to sign for it now, though, like Paragard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they like to heist his license, but the townspeople kind of got together and saved him. So he's been a pretty good fella since. Mm-hmm. Now, back yonder when the old church going ladies, they couldn't drink. They lambasted those folks what did, but they all had the rheumatism. So they'd have to take a lot of Peruna. Well, then some fella named LeBlanc, he come out with a new one. I say, what'd they call that? Hattie-Cole?
Yeah.
And they had to take a lot of Hattie-Cole. Well, 2 tablespoonfuls of that's equal to a good shot of the best booze. They eventually made him have to set it through the way. He had to have a wine and beer license to sell Hattie-Cole. But... Oh, yes, sir. So that cherry coal cough syrup, it's good.
Yeah.
But it's got a good bit of opium in it.
Yeah.
It'll just soothe that coughing down, right? But if you take 3 or 4 good shots of it, it gives you a pretty good little stimulated feeling there. A lot of those people was getting hooked on cherry coal. Brother Roger liked to got himself in trouble selling too much cherry coal cough syrup. He straightened up. He's a pretty good fella. Kind of dry and hatchet feet. I
Well, now, Mr. Gamble talked like it wasn't anything old man Rogers didn't know.
They ain't much old man Rogers don't know old man Gamble either, to hear them tell it, or Cecil Rowell. But you know, Doc, as I say, these people that think they know it all really bug us that do. Now, that's what...
Well, I'll tell you one thing. He knows about an axe.
Yeah, well...
I felt melancholy.
You did?
I have. I'd go to these stores and they'd have them axes there. And well, there's no use taking them home.
Doc, who in the Sam Hill ever heard tell of buying an axe to use? You buy the axe for your wife to use. She can't handle no 6 and 7 pound axe. Faye can't handle no 7 pound axe. You ain't gonna use that axe, she's gonna have to use it.
Well, where I come from, the children always use the axe. Mm-hmm. Right on the kindling, you know.
Cut the kindling. Yeah. It's you in Indian country now. You see, them Indians had a good thing going. The white man had to come over here and mess it up. Had the squaws doing all the work, you know, and all they done was hunted a little bit and sat around the fire and drank fire water and talked big. And the women done the plowing and the hoeing and the ground the corn and skint what little bit to kill and done all the work. The men sat around the fire and done all the big talking.
You know, I have a feeling my troubles would be over if I just got to talk to any one of those fellas, old man Rowell or Galbraith, except old man Galbraith's been in this country since 1945.
Yeah, he's been around the family ever since I can remember. Yeah, he had a great big family. I remember that old man off and on as far back as I can remember. He's been around there for years. He's a fixture.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He's comes through there all the time?
Yeah. He's lived around there around Trenton for years.
Well, now, this man lives in Tampa. The man with ice cream cones.
Oh, that may be another one.
That's another one. But he comes through there, and he got a brother up at...
up around Bell.
High Springs.
Oh, with High Springs, yeah.
Mike Galbraith,
yeah.
And, but now Cecil Rowell, and who else?
Old man Chris Anderson down there.
Yeah, he's down at
Tiefen. No, Fanny.
Well, any one of them would just about...
Charlie Adkins, he can get you in that Jeep and ride you all over them woods around there.
That's any one of them, that's all I need.
Charlie hadn't raised, didn't live what you'd call a very heavy Christian life.
Did they all play the chickens, what do they call it?
Play the...
You know, the cockfighting?
No, that bunch, they never did do that.
They didn't
around,
do that.
No, up around... St. Augustine, and there's where you have your rooster fights.
I see.
That bunch plays a lot of poker down on the river. They still play a lot of poker. The gambling end of it, but they run the bug quite extensively down there. They do everywhere they do here. They call it Cuba, Bolita, whatever. And they used to make a lot of moonshine in those woods down there. Like old Charlie. They'd been pretty tight on him, and he had a pretty good operation. He'd moved it. He had one of those portable pumps. He'd move it from creek to creek. You know, water is the limiting factor in making moonshine.
Sugar.
They was getting the sugar. He was getting the sugar out of Cuba. That was kind of before
Castro. So they had that pretty well.
Had that pretty well sewed up. He was getting a tractor-trailer rig of sugar in every week, and he was carrying out a tractor-trailer full of whiskey. Charlie wasn't no slouch. He was in it big. But he'd sent Rodney, his stiller, down with his big still, see, and they was going to set up at a new creek, at a new water hole, new pump. Well, they'd been pretty tight on him. They'd been using airplanes in there, my brother-in-law had. But he thought it was all over. They kind of got him. But he started out, he saw this little airplane buzzing around out there south of where he lived, you know, where we saw him out at the commissary, at the office. He jumped in his car, his wife's car. He was heading down there to cut Rodney off, see. tell him to not set up that day. He's just a fly. He gets down there, a couple of road patrolmen watched him stop. See the driver's license, he gave him the driver's license. Says, he was going pretty fast, Mr. Charlie. We're going to have to give you a ticket. Says, what do you mean going pretty fast? How fast was I going? Well, you was hitting 100 when we clocked you. How the hell you clocked me? The airplane up there. Is that what that thing is? Oh, hell, he said. Turn around and went back home. Give him $35, turn around and went back home. Well, give him $50 bill, don't keep change. No, we can't do that, Mr. Charlie.
You know, I tell you what, I really...
He was happy over the fact that one of the beverage boys playing.
That's hilarious.
And they knew it?
No, they didn't know it. They didn't know what Charlie was at. He just says, oh, hell, and handed him a $50 bill and said, keep the change. Said, no, Mr. Charlie, we can't do that. I gave him back $15 and he went on back home. He didn't go ahead. Oh, Charlie,
I
say.
I'm not an operator to understand that, but I remember the first time I was observed by one of those planes up there, I didn't notice it. And there was a fertilizer truck out here. And he went across that flat down there. He didn't have a tread on his tires. He didn't have enough load or something. He didn't quite make it. Oh, he worked himself. Spreader.
Oh, yeah.
And he worked himself to death to get that thing out. And he trying to think some way to do it. You know, a lot of these are rough fellas. They don't want to do it either way. He says, you can call the fire department. What do they call it? The fire service.
Forest service.
Tell him, I forget what he said, tell him. Well, anyhow, I done what he said. I come up here and call the tower there again. Said I, what I said, but somebody was stuck out here and had a little trouble. And they sent that little plane over. And what they did was telephone out there to Buster Mountain and make an open and tell him there's some fella stuck over there by Miles' ranch.
Miles' ranch? It is Miles' himself.
Yeah. And I didn't hear about it. I didn't know what happened for some time. And Buster dropped me. He says, I looked around over there and I didn't see anybody. Of course, I was back in the field. And they didn't give the quad of it, you see. And when I found that out, I was really put out.
Did they pull your car out?
No, they didn't. He finally... We came right up here and sat and cussed and drank a little coffee. He said he found that if he just sort of, when he got in trouble like that, if he just sort of settled down a few minutes, some would come to him. And we went back there and used the same methods we used before and got it right.
Yes.
But now, I have found that there's a whole lot better ways of getting out than that hard way they have. One of those little come-alongs, you see.
Mm-hmm.
All you need when you're stuck is just a little help, Gorman.
If you got something up yonder, the hook you come along to,
yeah,
that's a big thing.
Yeah. Well, you can set a post or something.
I see, if you got a post out yonder. But where you stuck us out there that day on that tractor? No, we stuck in that Chrysler. They won't no post. The hook don't come along to. So we have to get. I believe you brought the tractor down there, didn't you?
Jim did.
Oh, Jim did.
I heard when he put it in second, it was boom. I can see all the cars. Heard that all the way up here.
I like time. Oh, I was carrying a little old girl's mail. They forgot to put the bridge across Santa Fe River up there. They were building it, but they didn't have no sign saying there wasn't no bridge up there. And the fellow driving a dog. He's doing flat 100 when he saw there wasn't no bridge across that river. Oh, man. And I don't know how he is, but he got it stopped. Man, eventually we were down a sandbank, and everybody was too scared to try to dig it out. Oh, eventually got it dug down to where the, you know, the, it was clear. It was sitting there almost straight down, and everybody get on the back bumper and hold it down, and I drive her down. If I turned it loose, if it flipped over, it wouldn't hurt you, because no steel at all. But when you get off like that, Doc, you figure a way out right fast, because
if you get caught,
well, you're going to get killed. That's all it is to it. Somebody's daddy's going to shoot you.
Buck talks like you weren't doing the awnings now.
Yeah. Hey, Buck, that's what I said. I never let the fella down there know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Keep him guessing. No, I'm gambling with some investments.
Well, I told him the last time I heard you talk, you were in touch with the Atlanta finance people. I didn't know how you came out.
Well, they still don't want to come down here with no short-range financing.
Oh, I see.
No, they don't want to go nowhere with it. Discount rate went back up.
Yeah.
It come down 6%, but it went back up. Come down 5. Went back up 7. That's hurt. How about, don't you want to put out a lot of your money in a 10-year mortgage?
Yeah.
You do, huh?
Is that what it takes?
Yeah, I'll get you 10%.
Golly.
But I need about $250,000.
Yeah. You need all of that. You need the whole thing.
Well, that'll be, you know, it'll take a couple of years to get all that out. That'll put us in business.
Well, how about that? Wouldn't that be pretty good? How about Cecil?
Cecil Rowell? Cecil Rowell owns half of Trenton, and he wouldn't give you $50 to see Jesus Christ walk across the aisle. He don't want to make no more money. Like old man Justice Williams, he don't want to make no more money. Says, if I do, I'll have to pay taxes, and I've done paid them all I ever want to pay. So they just...
Well, now, that's like the boy you said down at Williston, wasn't it?
Quite hurt. They still want to make money.
We drove along there, or was that Cheatham? Somewhere along there. I thought it was Williston. And they over on the left there. And the boy said, you know, they're talking about improving the place. And he said,
oh, that's Cheatham.
Is that Cheatham?
Williston, the same way.
Same way.
Yeah, that's Hal Rutland. I don't know that. He's a young fella, he's city councilman. There's his daddy and mama and the Peacock family. They own a big chunk. Well, I guess Laura and Peacock and the Rutland clan worth a little over $1 million land
well.
Holdings. And hey, as I say, little old towns are dying. And that bunch wouldn't spend 15 cents to improve it. And it's naturally going to continue. You know, a trend is a funny thing. Once a trend starts, it continues. You take a ball team, it'll start to get hit a losing streak. It'll continue to lose for no particular reason. If it hits a winning streak, it'll continue to win for no particular reason. That's true of life.
Yeah.
My contention's always been, if you got bad luck, the harder you work, the better your luck gets. But sometimes that isn't always true. But when a town starts a decline, unless something happens, unless you've got to modernize it, people have a tendency to move out and they don't support it.
Yeah.
And you take a little old depreciated town like Williston, Cross City, Chiefland, any of those little suburban towns, they'll continue to decline until they just completely dry up. There'll be nothing. Trenton. Trenton's a good example.
Yeah.
It's a thriving little community. Could be. But you look at those old dilapidated buildings and falling in, there's nobody's gonna. But until somebody.
Well, the thing of this is, they can't make any money. Nobody can make a living there. Now, what about that farmers' exchange there? Farmers.
That little farmers' exchange. Well, it's a co-op, and I know the one, there's a branch of that. It is a branch of the one in Chiefland.
Oh, is it? Branch,
yeah.
Branch.
Well, my brother and they big stockholders and that thing. But she's found two squash. She's gonna plant them. Let's add them.
I'm gonna have some supper for me and you.
I got it. Wait, it'll get through.
I got it ready.
See, I have work to do at Mickey Nopi.
Huh?
And I got through quick, and before they get back, oh, the preacher, I never heard that young fella preach. I'm going to, I don't know what kind of preacher. He's one of the best people I've ever known. See, and my girl, Joyce's mother. And they're having some sort of big kadoo. And Dawn Hollifield, I don't know. You probably know Cecil Hollifield. He keeps all your IBM equipment up. And I just got Cecil out of the hospital. He had his gallbladder took out. So they're having some sort of breakdown for them. So they'll have supper cooked.
And make a Nopi?
No, at Gainesville. I had some work to do with Mickey Nopi, see, and I got through in time. Troy Blakely, you may know Troy. He wants to convert something he's got with a outfit in Atlanta into a more high yield. But
I don't have any idea what you've been mumbling about over there.
See, I lost you.
Yes.
Troy's company at Mickey Nopi. Now he works, let's see, with a company that used to have profit sharing. Like says Roebuck. They're discontinuing it. They're gonna pay him a lump sum cash.
Yeah.
He's got some investments in an outfit in Atlanta. He wants to look at something to pay him a higher yield. So that's what I was doing with Troy, but his wife's either sick or something. But she.
But you are in the finance business.
Been in it for years and years, Doc. A little bit of everything. I do a lot of building too. But as I say, that's what I say. I let Chiefland think that's my front. See, they think I'm in the Benny Pill business.
Yeah.
So I said to the truck, "What do you know about a Benny Pill? Look at that." Oh, did she flip her whole card up where I got a glimpse? Yes, well, turn over, honey. You done exposed your old card. I know what.
I haven't heard that term either.
Benny Pills? Yeah. It's a Benzedrine thing. That's where it got its name.
Yeah.
You never heard of a West Coast turnaround?
No.
Well, these truck drivers can take one of those, go all the way to the West Coast, turn around, come back, and never sleep. It's a keeps you awake pill. And then the Belita business, well, Sherry's got that, so that's numbers racket. Do y'all don't sell numbers out that camp?
Mostly pills.
Mostly pills.
Don't worry about the numbers.
Don't worry about it. If you hit, they pay at 61, you know. Buy a number for a dollar. And if you win, you get $60. Well, they. Remember reading about J.C. Rain getting caught in a while back? Mr. Phil Fox and all those fellas. I've never seen one. I don't wouldn't know one if I see it. And I wouldn't know a Benny Pill if I see it. But I let them think what they will, see.
Yeah.
Sit around there and they don't ever catch you working much.
Yeah.
You don't get up and go to work at 8 o'clock, knock off at 5.
Yeah.
And they wonder what the hell you do to make a living.
Yeah.
Don't owe nobody. In the little town, they used to say, when you live in a little town, it's very nice. You don't have much to do.
Yeah.
Your friends, your girlfriends especially, will spend your money for you. Your neighbors will tend to your business for you. That don't leave you much to do. You know?
Well, you stay in Chiefland just as much as you can get away with it. And then you
road a whole lot.
Yeah.
Leave town. Everybody figures I've gone. They used to think I was in the moonshine business. But there again, I wouldn't know a thumper from a Jimmy John.
I'm going to find out. I haven't give up yet.
Find out what?
Moonshine business.
Is Charlie going to tell you how to get in?
Yeah.
He's put you in business.
Yeah.
If you won't set a still up out here. But I guarantee you, Tommy Dean will put you in jail. Tommy's
well,
rough.
This syrup, this syrup making, you see, the skimmings off of that. You ought to saw them away, you see.
Well, that's pretty rough drinking. We used to drink that when we was kids going coon and possum hunting, you know,
you
at night. If you let that buck set, see, down at the bottom, all your sediment will rise to the top.
Yeah.
And it's ready to draw then, so you got your hole below. You start at the bunghole first, and as you draw it down, you keep drawing it. It's just as clear as any beer you ever saw.
Yeah.
Got a good taste to it, and it'll get you just as drunk as It's a whole lot drunker than Slitsville, because it's got more authority to it. Now, you drink about a quart of that, you know, and you get out on a cold, frosty night, and your dogs are running around out there on a moonlight night. You can sit around a campfire. You can tell some of the biggest lies you ever heard.
Now, how'd the preacher get into that?
I was talking about the gardening. The preacher and my brother are putting the garden in.
No,
how?
No, at Meganope.
He didn't.
Well, up at Gainesville.
He didn't. Oh, that's a little bad. That's a little preacher. They're having the dinner at Trenton for a group. And then they all going to bring, at Wilcox, they all going to bring dinner back up here, see.
Oh.
And bring supper, I mean.
Oh.
And then there'll be a bunch stay down there that won't come. And there'll be several up here that I'm not invited, I'm requested to be there.
But he's a pretty nice little preacher?
I say I've never heard him preach. He's a nice man. He's a good man.
Yeah.
He's a good neighbor. And he teaches school, really. He and his wife both. They teach in Trenton High School.
Oh,
and
see.
He preaches on the side. And he runs a church along with it. He and Joyce's mother, she's the big wheel. And she works at the university up finance and accounting. That telephone you call in.
Yeah.
A bunch up the Tigard Hall.
Well, that just about gets in the whole territory, doesn't it?
Yeah. It gets you.
Now, did Joyce keep in touch with all those people you know?
She's down at Trenton. She's bringing them back.
Yeah.
The ones that's coming.
Well, does she knock around from one place to another?
No. She works from 8 to 5.
She just...
And I come by there every once in a while.
This particular time, she's...
See, her mother lives at Wilcox. She's a deaconess in this church, and she's also in the upholstery business.
Her mother?
Mm-hmm. She's a rough character in herself, used to be, but she's a very staunch Christian now. She don't cuss, she don't smoke. She used to smoke more than I did.
Oh, really?
And she will gossip a little bit, though. Alone.
Well, what else did
you
talk about?
Well, that's what I like my free preacher buddies back yonder years ago. They was out in the middle of a lake of fishing. There's a Baptist, a Methodist, and a Presbyterian out there. One of them says to the other, says, you know, we teach that you have to confess your shortcomings and sins before men, and you know, we can't afford to do that. According to our profession, we just can't do it, not out in the open, but I know we all got them. We're human. I was just thinking, this is a pretty good time to do it. Right out here in the middle of this lake. Sure can't nobody over here else but us. The old Baptist preacher says, Brother John, I think you got a good idea, and I'm going to start first. That's because I've been having something that's gnawing on me for years. Because I got one of the worst weaknesses I ever had in this women. Because you know these big meetings I'm supposed to go to and stay going a month at the time? So I ain't going to no church meeting. I'm up at Jacksonville. And I had to stay to get it out of my system and come on back. The old Presbyterian preacher says, Brother John, that's bad, but I got one just as bad. Says, and it's whiskey. Says, you know these meetings that I go to, supposed to? I ain't on no church meeting. I'm right up at Jacksonville, sacked up in a hotel drunk. I got to stay there to get it out of my system and come on back. That old Presbyterian preacher, he's getting the oars up in his hand, you know, getting ready to go. He says, hold it now, Jim. We know you've got a shortcoming, too. It's your turn. He says, boys, I have, and it's bad, and I want y'all to pray for me, and it's gossip. And I just got to get...
Yeah.
Start telling for old Robert a joke, you know, that preacher. He likes a good part. He'll say, Lord, please forgive me for what I'm about to receive.
Well, sir, I tell you, that's good territory out down there.
Yeah, it's easy.
Trenton and Chiefland.
Trenton, Chiefland, Cross City, Fannin Spring, Old Town, Water Creek.
If I had, you know, like you, if I'd like him, I'd want to keep in touch with them too. I wouldn't move off somewhere else.
I don't move off, just ramble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody says, you know everybody done. I said, yeah, I do, but that ain't where the, that's not what makes it tough. They all know me, too. I do make it rough.
Yeah.
Ho. Sure does get dark late, don't get late early, though. I mean, get... You know, sneaking in there, getting him another snort.
Yeah, that old breakfast coffee to keep hanging around.
Breakfast coffee.
Yeah, keep after.
Well, they're not going to give me the trunk key, so I'll go. You got plenty of butter beans, is it?
You don't have butter beans. You might find some.
I
hope you've got some squash, maybe.
I mean, what's his name? Cecil.
Hardy.
How about okra?
No, he's got all that. He didn't get all that.
Didn't get it.
No, he gave a few beets.
Some beets.
And
didn't have all that.
About 3 carrots.
Enough okra to fry.
But he's got enough.
Who has? He's selling that, though. I'll go
but
out there. I'd have to pay for it. That's I'll think y'all out there. And I'll tell how old's old Cecil. I can remember them parties. How old's old Cecil?
He's been
get?
There, he said, 40 years.
You know, I've got a pair of skimpy shorts, and he'll just load your cart up, and then I'll be there. He can still dream. He'll do you no good, but it's old reprobate. I remember them parties.
Well, he's got, I tried to, one time I thought I'd see where his children were. Well, he got children all over this United States.
Yeah.
I got so confused. I saw I brought it up. He got a boy in the appliance business, makes $20,000 a year down at Ocala.
Yeah.
And then he keeps going, you see. And you just wish
that's
he'd run out of youngin'.
That's them to speak of. How do you get into them that he don't speak of? He'll tell him.
He mentioned seven.